show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio.
By the way, on this story, cross-border operations and signal intelligence from base established by the Israelis in northern Iraq are said to have identified a number of Iranian uranium enrichment sites known to the IAEA. Since Israel destroyed the Osirak nuclear reactor in Iraq in 1981, and this is coming from the White House, it's been understood that the lesson is don't have one site, have 50 sites. If a military operation is approved, Israel will use air and ground forces against several nuclear targets in the hope of stalling Tehran's nuclear program for years, according to Israeli military sources. It is believed Israel would call on its top Special Forces Brigade, Unit 262, the equivalent of the SAS, and the F-151 Strategic 69 Squadron, which can strike Iran and return to Israel without refueling. So it is getting turned up. I see two people in office that have to go, George Bush and his twin brother, Ariel Sharon. You know, this Likud party in Israel, folks, I'll tell you what, it is not good any more than the PNAC people that are surrounding Mr. Bush right now, and he is, of course, one himself. They need to go also before they really do start a World War III. See, this is what they're counting on, folks, pitting one religion against another. And the Jews hate Christians, and the Jews hate Islamic people. So what better thing to do? Oh, let's start a war between the two of them. Let's turn the Islamics against the Christians. Amazing. And we're paying for this, folks. Billions of dollars a year going to Israel, going to the Zionist state of Israel. We're paying for this cockeyed Ariel Sharon. You know, he's threatening to quit and start another party. I think the people in Israel ought to look at this man for what he is, and I think they ought to deep-six him. What did Pat Robertson say about Hugo Chavez of Venezuela? Well, here's one for you. Why don't you people in Israel that don't like the Likud party and see them as a direct threat to your peace and security, why don't you kill him off? Why don't you accuse him as they accuse Saddam Hussein? Why don't you put him on trial? Or better still, let's lock Saddam Hussein and Ariel Sharon in one room and let them go at it. Last man standing wins. That way we don't have to spend any money at all. And I'm sure Fox News or somebody would pay for television rights for it. They could sell tickets. They could put it on satellite worldwide. That way everybody would be entertained. Jonathan in Texas. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Man, too bad we got a lot of people out there that are just bloodthirsty, uninformed idiots, man.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the Billy Beelzebubs out there, you know. Oh, my goodness, these people are evil. We got to go destroy them.
Right. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. I just recently bought the Loose Change second edition.
Yes.
I figured I'd buy it from you so that you could take the profits, put them back into the network. It's the best I could do. I wish I could send you a donation. Other than that, I'm a Navy reservist. I've been telling my people that I train in the Navy reserve about P2OG, about Project for New American Century, about different websites and this kind of thing. And I got about 7 or 8 Liberty stickers on the back of my old Caprice cop car, and I get dirty looks and I get waves of hands, and that's how I'm getting the word out, man. And I just wanted to let you know that I support what you do, and I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, take solace, because the people that are scowling at you are the uninformed and the stupid masses out there.
That's very true, man. Because usually, you know, when you tell somebody, well, the truth hurts, man.
Hold on, we got a break. We'll be right back.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contacts experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH, and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger, and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Let me take Don in Ohio, and I want to get into this fascism. It's so in now from the Idaho Observer. Go ahead, Don.
Merry Christmas first. I called Friday and suggested that you have a show on censorship. And I was wondering if you ever got those emails I sent.
I checked my emails today, and I did not see them.
Ain't that strange? That's really something. You need to get a program where you have, it's like an automatic notice that the email was received or something like that, to send it off to the person that sent it, because otherwise, you don't know what you're getting, and that way we can keep up to date with what you're actually getting. It's a free program that basically, like if I send an email to somebody and, or somebody sends an email to me, then I have a program that once it gets into my email box, it would send them out an automatic thing saying it has been received.
Well, that is if you get it, though, right?
Yeah, if you get it. If they don't get it, then they know that they didn't get a verification that that you received or whatever.
Yeah. Well, but that doesn't do anything to stop the IP people out there from blocking the stuff to begin with. So.
Right. They'll know if you ever received what they sent you.
Yeah.
Is they'll get notification that it had been received.
Gotcha.
Shoot.
You forgot what you were going to say.
Well, actually, you were being kind about what Bush said about the Constitution. He actually said GD piece of paper. So
yeah.
You know, I consider that treason.
Well, and I do also, and I don't know how this is ringing in the ranks of the military, because I know the word is spreading fast. I mean, we notice by his actions that he has the greatest contempt for the Constitution, but to have the man actually say it and be witnessed by three people, I think biblically you only need, what, two witnesses? Well, we got three. But here's the man, he's sitting in the White House, and he's supposed to protect and defend the Constitution, even in his own life if necessary, and this man has so much disdain for it. I mean, this has got to stop. I mean, this man has got to go. Yesterday would be not too soon.
Do you know if anybody had any recorders going at the time or any film footage of it?
No. Doug Thompson from Capitol Hill Blue was the one that verified that and talked with the three individuals. He has not released their names. But if I was in the Bush's White House and I heard something like that, I wouldn't care what I was connected with, what political affiliation, what corporate entity, anything else. I'd be spilling my guts, and I'd be having my finger on the face in the evening news, right in Bush's face, calling for his immediate removal from the office.
He wasn't joking when he said he wanted to be dictator. I mean,
no, he wasn't.
He goes the show right there.
Yep, that's true.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it. Jonathan, you had one more point you wanted to make.
Yeah, I got one more point. Actually, a couple more points. I know there's military listeners out there, and do what I am doing. Teach your underlings about the Constitution. Teach them about the crooked stuff that's going on, and remind them that even when their enlistment is up, they still support and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's how I look at it. My second point is we need to do what Emeril does, and that's called kick it up a notch. People need to start calling mainstream talk show hosts and getting shoehorned in there, shoehorn their way in, so that they can pretty much, I mean, outright accuse them of accusing themselves, because they're part and parcel to the whole problem.
Well,
how about
this one? C-SPAN, that does the Washington Journal for, what, 3 hours every morning, and this is their hot topic. It's politics, politics, politics. Why don't people start calling into C-SPAN and informing them? And I'll tell you what. Get somebody's email over there at C-SPAN, email the story over to them first so they're aware of it. When people start calling up, they'll treat this as a more serious issue. This needs to be talked about in the political circles.
Yeah, oh yeah. That, and, you know, like I said, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, if somebody can get in there and shoehorn their way into his talk show and just tell him, hey man, you're part of the problem. You're part of the reason why the country's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, I've heard people do that before on mainstream talk show hosts. And between you, me, and the fence post, man, there needs to be a lot more of that.
Well,
because that's how the word's going to get out.
Well, and this is what I've been chiding people, and this is what I've been cajoling about them to them for years, that you have to be more vocal. I mean,
exactly.
What are we waiting for here? Martial law to be declared, and we can't say anything unless we get locked up in a prison camp someplace?
Lock me up in a prison camp. My jaws are going to be a-flapping.
Well, I'll tell you what. I ain't going to no prison camp.
Am I, but that's my point, John, is they're flapping now, and then you're going to stop flapping. Just because, you know, they usurped their authority, the Constitution still didn't go away, just like my oath of enlistment didn't. And that's all I needed to say to you, bro.
All right. I appreciate it, Jonathan. Thank you. Yeah. Woe to the Fed or the Fed operative that suggests that they're going to remove me to some re-education camp or some facility. I hope he's not married. I hope he has no other obligations other than himself. That's all I'll say in the subject. Oh, gosh. Fascism. It's so in now. The October edition of Harper's Magazine features an article by Lewis H. Latham, and it's spelled, and I'm just going to call him Laffman, or Latham. It's spelled L-A-P-H-A-M. It could be Lapham, but I doubt it. So we'll call him what he is, Latham, entitled, "We Now Live in a Fascist State." His main point is that though Americans are too ignorant of history to recognize their current form of government as fascist, and they have in parentheses here, a democracy is the preferred description, it is fascist, and Americans are themselves fascist. Their fascist fascination is purely trendy and situational, like the 1920s when it was fashionable to call oneself a socialist without understanding the deeper political implications of the term. The article begins with a rather prescient quote from the New Deal FDR dated November 4, 1938, and I quote, "But I venture the challenging statement that if American democracy ceases to move forward as a living force, seeking day and night by peaceful means to better the lot of our citizens, then fascism and communism, aided, unconsciously perhaps, by old-line Tory republicanism, will grow in strength in our land." And here we are. But the question, Laffam observes, is not whether or not we are fascist or communist, socialist, democratic, or republican, that kind of state, but can we make America the best damn fascist or whatever state the world has ever seen? An authoritarian paradise deserving the admiration of international capital markics, worthy of a decent respect, to the opinions of mankind. Throw in the spoiled child thinking that guides modern American thoughts and actions, and you have, by any other name, a brand of popularly accepted and approved fascism, the likes of which the world has never seen. We're Americans. We have the money and the know-how to succeed where Hitler failed, and history has favored us with advantages not given to the early pioneers of fascism, Laffam went on to explain. Though we could refer to our fascism as some type of hyper-fascism, a few fascist traditions have been sewn into the fascist American fabric. The truth is revealed, he says, once and only once. Paramilitary democracy is by definition rotten because it doesn't represent the voice of the people, which is of the sublime leader. Doctrine out points reason, and science is always suspect. Critical thought is the province of degenerate intellectuals who betray the culture and subvert traditional values. The national identity is provided by the nation's enemies. Argument is tantamount to treason. Perpetually at war, the state must govern with the instruments of fear. Citizens do not act. They play the supporting role of the people in the grand opera that is the state. Laffam observes that American fascism, the merger of the state and corporate interest, on an economically and military global scale, that is, does not require book burning, overt prosecution of the bourgeois, or state control of broadcast and print media, because the roar of self-serving, mindless American consumers drown the isolated voices of dissent that pop up here and there. That America is now a fascist state is only bothersome to a few isolated thinkers scattered throughout the great American wilderness. To the rest, officially sanctioned torture, assassination, mass murder, and criminal activity is permissible so as long as their pleasure buttons keep getting pushed. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Either we have to start thinking in terms of outing this president, this government that has turned on the American people. Go back and read what the founders said about if your government ever turns on you, it's your duty, your obligation to dismantle it and move it a little further out west. Well, that was when there was frontier out west. We've used up pretty much all the real estate or laid claim to it. But in their own words, when the government itself turns on the people, it is our duty, our obligation to dismantle that government and to restore the constitutional republic. End of story. Now, I don't have a big enough gun to walk into Washington, D.C., hold it to the heads of these clowns that are supposedly representing the people of this country. Wouldn't do any good, because the only thing I would get shoved back in my face it would be a bigger gun. And if you take care of the one gun, don't worry. You knock down one, they'll bring 20. You knock down 20, they'll bring 100. You knock down 100, they'll bring 10,000. At the point of a gun is what is sufficing as law in this country anymore. And you better capitulate. You better get on bended knee. You better get politically correct with the scheme here, or otherwise you may suffer. We're already suffering. The question is how much longer are we going to allow the suffering to continue? We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bennett once again for the Republic Broadcasting Network and the Republic Trading Group. What a day this has been. The S&P was up. The NASDAQ was up. The Russell 2000 was up. I don't know where the Dow went. 10-year notes even. But you know what? It's been a real wild ride in gold and silver markets today. Gold ended the session at 528.15. At one point in time this very day, gold actually had reached momentarily $540 an ounce. Silver ended the day in the 870, the high 870s range. You can go to two or three different sites and charts and see what it's doing. A lot of things happening economically. A lot of news has come out of the Federal Reserve today. The Dow closed down today. We'll bring you up on some of this stuff up overnight. We'll get some fresh columns posted on the RepublicTradingGroup.com website. A lot of things going on in platinum. The Chinese jewelry demand is not yet exhausted, so platinum is making its way upward in the day. At 10:19, I'm running out of voice because I've been doing this for about 9 hours straight, 9.5 hours straight. So, you know, you keep tuning into Republic Trading Group or Republic Broadcasting. We're going to keep trying to bring you these updated financial commentaries and headlines throughout the course of each and every day. And you can pick this up on pretty much all the folks' program. If you give us a call at Republic Trading Group, if gold and silver are something that you have finally begun to realize needs to be a part of your financial future and your financial stability, that's how you find us, 1-800-691-7898. But ladies and gentlemen, when you call, you're going to get the voicemail. Leave a message. We will call you back. If you don't leave a message, we can't get back to you. We cannot, try to foresee that you're out there trying to reach us if you don't let us know that. So keep your eyes open. Things are happening. India, China, Russia, Great Britain, France, Middle East, all of these things are having an effect on the direction of gold in addition to, quote, Mr. Bush's economic policies, whatever they may happen to be. Stay with us here on Republic Broadcast, and we're going to be heading back to John Statmiller's program momentarily. And stay there. You'll find lots of good information. I'm running out of breath. I'm running out of voice, but I guess I've got to keep running here. You guys take care of yourselves. We'll maybe see you later. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow. 1-800-691-7898. Let's do what we've got to do.
Unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, small you there, folks. Part of it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Actually, that was changed. It was property. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments, long established, should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, I'll get that out, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of all these colonies, and such is now their necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. Has anybody ever proposed a case to the United States Supreme Court with absolute, irrefutable evidence and documents to prove the case that the government has turned on its own people? I don't think there's ever been a case like that. And man, could you mount up the evidence? You would have to back it in by trailer truck. It'd keep the Supreme Court reading for the next 10 years. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Miami bomb incident starts to look suspicious. Paul Joseph Watson did this story a couple days ago. The shooting of Rigoberto Alpizar at Miami International Airport stinks like a giant festering rat just 2 days after it happened. Alpizar never screamed that he had a bomb, and passengers relate that they were more frightened of air marshals putting guns to their heads and threatening them not to look at what was taking place on board American Airlines Flight 924. For those of us who researched the brutal murder of Charles Menendez in London, striking parallels have begun to emerge. Menendez, by the way, was the guy that was shot and killed by the British police on board one of their subways over there. Supposedly he was a terrorist. We live in an age where government deception about everything under the sun is a matter of course, and no major events can take place without us automatically being suspicious about whether there's underlying motives involved. The incident seemed straightforward enough when the official version of what happened was released. A mentally unstable man runs off of a plane with a backpack, screaming that he has a bomb, and he's shuffling around in his bag, apparently attempting to detonate it. Most people would agree that, well, that to shoot him dead, as the air marshals did, was an extreme but necessary course of action to take. But wait. Let's take a step back here. Is a real suicide bomber going to announce that he's trying to detonate a bomb? How many Palestinians have you heard about who explain what they're about to do and risk apprehension before being able to do it? Furthermore, we have eyewitnesses confirming that Rigoberto Alpizar's wife was hysterical in trying to get the message across the man was mentally ill and didn't have a bomb. Okay, so even considering these questions, many people would still maintain that if they were on the plane and this happened, they'd still want the guy filled with bullets. Better to be safe than sorry. This is where the waters begin to muddy. Time magazine reported the comments of one of the passengers on board American Airlines Flight 924. This is what they had to say. I never heard the word bomb on the plane. McCallney told Time in a telephone interview, I never heard the word bomb until the FBI asked, did you hear the word bomb? That's ridiculous. So if we were to believe the eyewitness, the madman Alpizar, or Alpizar, I guess his name is, never claimed to have a bomb, therefore his only crime was running on a grounded plane. If he didn't announce that he had a bomb, then why was it necessary to shoot him dead? McCallney's account of the drama takes on an even more intriguing turn when we consider the following from Time magazine. When the incident began, McCallney was in seat 24C in the middle of the plane. Alpizar was in the back. McCallney says, a few seats from the back bathroom. He sat down. Then McCallney says, I heard an argument with his wife. He was saying, I have to get off the plane. And she was telling him, calm down. Alpizar took off running down the aisle with his wife close behind him. She was running behind him saying, he's sick, he's sick, he's ill, he's got a disorder. McCallney recalls, I don't even know if she said bipolar disorder, as one witness has alleged. She was trying to explain to the marshals that he was ill. He just wanted to get off of the plane. McCallney, and think about this, folks. If you're a terrorist and you're going to set off a bomb, why would you run off the plane? You could destroy a bunch of people in a confined area, destroy the aircraft, rather than running into the airport where the bomb would, would be kind of diffused through the air, and you'd probably only kill a few people. More on this story right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. Yeah. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
The excerpt here out of Time magazine. McCallney described Alpizar as carrying a big backpack and wearing a fanny pack in front. He says it would have been impossible for Alpizar to lie flat on the floor of the plane as marshals ordered him to do so with a fanny pack on. You can't get on the ground with a fanny pack, he says. You have to move it to one side. By the time Alpizar made it to the front of the airplane, the crew had ordered the rest of the passengers to get down between the seats. I didn't see him get shot, he says. They kept telling me to get down. I heard about five shots. McCallney says he tried to see what was happening just in case he needed to take evasive action. He says, I wanted to make sure if anything was coming toward me and they were killing passengers, I would have a chance to break somebody's neck, he says. I was looking through the seats because I wanted to see what was coming. I was on the phone with my brother. Somebody came down the aisle, put a shotgun to the back of my head, and said, put your hands on the seat in front of you. I got my cell phone karate chopped out of my hand. Then I realized it was an official. In the ensuing events, many of the passengers began crying in fear, he recalls. They were pointing the guns directly at us instead of pointing them to the ground. One little girl was crying. There was a lady crying all the way to the hotel. McCallney said he saw Alpizar before the flight and is absolutely stunned by what unfolded on the airplane. He says he saw Alpizar eating a sandwich in the boarding area before getting on the plane. He looked normal at the time. He thinks the whole thing was a mistake. I don't believe he should be dead right now. Now, this account brings several facts into clear view. The reason for Albazar's rush to leave the plane would seem to stem from his unstable emotional state and the row with his wife, or the little argument he had, and had nothing to do with the potential of him having a bomb, as proven by the fact that he never said he had a bomb, and the subsequent controlled explosions proved that he didn't have a bomb. If Alpazar didn't have a bomb and gave no reason to make air marshals think he had a bomb, then he was killed for another reason. The fact that air marshals were terrorizing passengers, putting guns to their heads, and karate-kicking mobile phones out of their hands proves that. Whatever was taking place, they didn't want anyone to have a consistent and clear view of what was going on. The eyewitnesses were more afraid of the gun-wielding air marshals than they were of Alpazar, and felt their lives were more endangered by the marshals than Alpazar. And you know what? Folks, how many stories have you seen come out since that story broke? You can't even count them on one hand, can you? That's because they want to bury this issue. Now, did the air marshals just make a mistake down there? Was there adrenaline running too high? Was their testosterone level over the top? Or was there something more? But at any rate, where were the follow-up and the subsequent interviews with people who were on board that plane? You didn't see any, did you? Now, this evidence trend towards two possible explanations behind the incident, according to Paul Joseph Watson. Either the government wanted Alpazar dead for their own reasons and carried out a targeted assassination under the guise of an anti-terror operation, or this incident was staged to reinforce the myth that there are real terrorists running around that the government needs to protect us by taking away our liberties. This event will lead to even more choking airport security measures, reversing more rational trends which began with the announcement that small, sharp objects would be allowed on planes again. Whatever the case, this incident was uncanny. The uncanny parallels with the murder of Charles de Menez by British undercover police one day after the supposed aborted second London bombings in July 22nd. The official story seemed to justify the shooting. A man wearing a large padded jacket at the height of summer with wires trailing out jumps a barrier and runs for the nearest train in a manic fashion as he's followed by plainclothes police who had tracked him from the building under surveillance due to its potentially housing terrorists. The official story, of course, turned out to be a complete lie, fronted by Meathead, Sir Ian Blair, who pathetically clung onto his job by endlessly repeating the same on British television for weeks after the event. De Menez was wearing a light denim jacket, was playing chase with his cousin, did not involve a barrier, did not have wires trailing from his jacket, and was not seen coming from said building due to the policeman watching the building, urinating at the time. Closed caption television tapes of the incident were seized by police, who then claimed the tapes didn't exist due to the cameras conveniently malfunctioning at that exact time, something which the London Underground workers wholesale denied. Now, this and many more startling inconsistencies prove that the police knew for certain that de Menez was no suicidal bomber, but they had been ordered to kill him anyway. De Menez was a freelance electrician with potential knowledge of a shady electrical surge explanation that was preceded the official story of the London bombings could have sealed his fate. The murder of Alpazar looks like it's in the same basket. No doubt the official probe will bring to light more damning evidence, but then the establishment lackeys will just pardon their mob bosses anyway. The Miami Police Department caught a lot of heat recently for their constitution gutting Miami Shield program, where cops will randomly lay siege to city buildings, ride buses and trains, and demand to see IDs. Were the events at the airport a response to that criticism? A message sent that we need to shut up and show obedience to authority because there are terrorist bombers out there, and we need to be protected from them. The timing of the two stories is at least, the very least, interesting, if not sinister. This is a time of universal deceit, folks, and any major event needs to be scrutinized without haste, because nearly in every case the evidence points directly to government collusion and cover-up. And it goes on. Where does it stop? It's not going to, folks. It's not going to until what is dismantled out there is the very mechanism they have set up themselves and found, according to their own belief systems, endless and just reams of evidence that supports that we need Homeland Security and a Patriot Act. We need rogue, gunned federal employees running around pulling triggers on people, folks. This is going to keep us safe. Now, I've got a question here that even this article didn't cover. If the man had a bomb, how did he go through the checkpoints? How did he get past the bomb-sniffing stuff where they take little swatches of things and run it through an analyzer? Why is it if he had a bomb, didn't it show up on X-ray? And anything suspicious, folks, that you're carrying on board a plane right now that's got too many wires and looks too electronic and it doesn't look like mainstream, something that everybody would be carrying around, I guarantee you're put in that little holding corral there and you're gone over thoroughly. You get to remove your shoes and your socks and they pat you down and they wand you and they probe you and feel you up, basically. It stinks, folks. The whole thing stinks. Now, I don't, you know, it's whatever lie is perpetrated and repeated over and over and over again with supposed authority figures mouthing these words, and that somehow Americans are just supposed to accept it. Because, oh, there's a threat out there. What if they lied about that threat? What if their real aim is to destroy this constitutional republic and to finally do away with it? Because, well, as Mr. Bush has said, it's just a piece of paper, isn't it? Same thing Bill Clinton said to Tony Blair about gun control here in America. Well, I'll find a way around that pesky constitution. We'll find a way. You know, it just goes on and on and on. By the way, Joseph McCarthy, have you noticed that certain individuals and groups of individuals, when they hear something, they say that smacks of McCarthyism? Well, let me read you something about Joseph McCarthy here. You know, he was once quoted as saying, being in politics is like being a football coach. You have to be smart enough to understand the game and dumb enough not to think it's important. Known as representative and senator from Minnesota, Eugene McCarthy was more a poet and a philosopher than a politician. What higher compliment could be made to a man who was elected to serve the people? A society that does not remember or understand its past cannot and will never be able to confront the present, let alone challenge the future. The embodiment of opposition to the Vietnam debauchery, McCarthy was a true populist. In the tradition of Robert La Follette, progressives, clean gene, had a popular appeal among reformers. Entrenchment mechanics like Hubert Humphrey were tools of the establishment, but McCarthy was more of a rebel, a Jesse Ventura, if you will, for the intellectual crowd. Not that Jesse Ventura was an intellectual. What is often missed is that he had much in common with daring conservative movements like that of Strom Thurmond, the Dixiecrat in 1948, and George Wallace, the American Independent, in 1972. Authentic progressive principles meet genuine reactionary standards on the hallowed ground of limited central government. Look at it as if states' rights visited their ill-advised utopian cousins. Both camps steep with courage, looking to achieve a decentralized expression of social identity without the interference of federal Big Brother. While McCarthy was certainly an Adlai Stevenson man, when he was asked about Bobby Kennedy, replied, well, I don't have a very high regard for him. As we say, a minimum high regard, he was a man of conscience. The fiasco that was Chicago in 1968 gave the country a true look at the raw underbelly of power politics. The Democratic Convention was Mayor Daley's gift to War Party. Gene McCarthy speaks of Mr. Gestapo in a 1996 interview. Oh, he was no surprise to us, you know. Worse than the violence in the streets, the daily stuff was what the party on the inside did to the principles and actually the rules of precedence of party procedures. Taking delegates they didn't have a right to and denying delegates that we had a right to. Trying to kind of control the score so it would look good. He goes on to say, in my mind, that had much more serious impact on the party, on the Democratic Party and politics than the stuff that went on in the street, which was understandable. The inside stuff wasn't. The Vietnam War brought the country to the edge of collapse. The bankruptcy of Johnson's Great Society was not fully known yet, but there was little doubt that the adventure in Southeast Asia was a sick attempt at hegemony. This is not long before Richard Nixon expanded intervention into a civil war and failed even more miserably in the use of hyperpower persuasion. Gene McCarthy stood as a moral alternative, but the nation was too blind to accept the proper limits upon the irrational quest for empire. John Nichols in the Madison Capital Times in 2001 expresses the mindset of the Romantics. He says, McCarthy was a radical anomaly in American politics even then. A former college professor who began one of the most important speeches, that of the 1968 campaign, an address to a great rally in the Dane County Coliseum, by quoting from memory Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. McCarthy's literary bent tended to put off fellow senators, who sometimes dismissed him as too prone to rumination and independent thinking for a game of politics. But it sat well with a ragtag band of political dreamers who dared to believe that they could defeat a sitting president, end a foolish war, and set right a nation. All the while, the war raged on. McCarthy bucked the system. For those who lived through the nightmare and have the scars of real battle of opposing state tyranny, we view him as a true national hero and inspiration. We can forgive the misguided sentimentality of his support of the Federal Civil Rights Act and for Medicare and Medicaid. After all, he continued to be outspoken and opposed the current Iraqi war. Rehabilitated idealists became realists when they internalized the validity of bona fide conservative values and principles, while the poet utters the cry of human spirit. The honest reactionary seeks to direct the anarchist into action for tangible moral justices. Senator McCarthy deserves the same tribute as any veteran. The thanks of a grateful nation are especially for those who dedicate their sacred honor to the tradition of non-entanglement policy and make war against senseless foreign folly. The lesson of his life and bravery became a notable celebration of all that is good about America. The libretto of our national opera does not need to be a tragedy. You know, folks, it's just McCarthyism, isn't it? It's just McCarthyism. So let me see. We got a president that says Constitution, it's just a piece of paper. We're honoring our dead soldiers killed in Iraq by shipping them as freight in an aircraft with people's luggage and whatever else they stuff down there. Isn't it just wonderful? And the war continues. And George Bush is on a whirlwind tour here to promote that there is real change happening in Iraq. Yeah. There's real change over there, isn't there? And how many more billions of dollars will be spent? How many needless American lives will be sacrificed? How many innocent Iraqi civilians will be killed? And how much are people willing to tolerate? Why is this man still in public office? You know, I mean, just taking the argument here, ladies and gentlemen, say the Bill Clinton deal. That he lied to a grand jury about Monica Lewinsky. You know, and his whole diatribe, oh, it depends on what is. Has not this man lied before the American people, sent his emissaries to the United Nations to lie for him? Has a Secretary of State in Condoleezza Rice that is doing a whirlwind tour she just completed in Europe, lying to people there? Have we had enough of the lies? Now, here's the question. How best to remove this man? What would be the mechanism? Oh, that's right. We'd have to have Congress step up, just as they did with Bill Clinton. There are people suggesting that Mr. Bush should be pulled out of office. Some of the words that are being spoken start with that nasty T word. If not that, well, to a lesser degree, that big S word, sedition. Here's a man publicly admitting that he hates the Constitution. And there he sits in Washington, D.C. How does that sit out there with you Bible-believing Christian conservative Republicans?
Well, at least he's a godly man. And he was better than Bill Clinton.
Really? Yeah. We'll be back up to wrap up this edition of the National Intel Report. We'll be right back.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this past week, and we are going to continue with this until further notice, to support the network, we're asking folks out there to tithe, if you will, or donate to the network on a monthly basis. All monthly contributions are welcome, but sustained, not just a little pop here and then you disappear. Folks, in order for us to stay on the air, we need your support. Because nothing is moving out there in product land, ladies and gentlemen. So go to rbnlive.com. If you got a credit card, MasterCard, Visa, I think they got Diners Club up there and whatever else. If you can make a contribution and step up to the plate here. If you can make a contribution, go to rbnlive.com, top right-hand page, front page. Become a Republic partner. You can do so in increments up to $1,000 a month. If you've got that much money, hey, not a problem. We'll take it gladly. But if you want to make a more within your budget donation of, say, $25 or $50 a month, please do it. You don't have a computer but got a credit card, or you don't want to have anything to do with credit cards or computers? Okay, that's simple. Call us at 800-724-2719. And folks, we are either going to meet our obligations to pay the bills around here, or you won't be listening to this network too much longer in the future. So give us a call. Groups warn bill contains national ID, immigration measures employment provision dangerous. An umbrella organization of dozens of groups that monitor legislation affecting civil liberties say a new immigration reform measure contains a provision that could lead to a de facto establishment of a national identification scheme. Officials with Liberty Coalition say the bill, called the Border Protection, Anti-Terrorism, and Illegal Immigration Control Act, ominously creates a dangerous new national identity database system and firmly establishes the predicate for a new national ID card system. In particular, said the organization, Title VII of the bill contains a requirement that employers compare current and prospective workers' Social Security numbers with the Department of Homeland Security database to ensure that they are legally able to work inside the United States. If the DHS database doesn't clear the employee, the employer can be fined. Michael Osterlenk, national director for the coalition, said he was not only concerned about the ID implications, but also that database glitches or errors in the system could inadvertently penalize some employees and their employers. Even setting aside concerns of international blacklisting of innocent Americans, even a small error rate could mean millions of Americans forced out of work by computer mistakes. Homeland Security has a poor record of putting innocent Americans on secretive no-fly list, which, by the way, folks, that list has grown to 80,000. Are you on that list? Well, you won't know until you get to the airport, will you? And they should not be entrusted with determining who is allowed to make a living in this country. The legislation introduced by Representative James E. Sensenbrenner, a Republican out of Wisconsin, was approved Thursday by the House Judiciary Committee, which he chairs. The legislation will help restore the integrity of our nation's borders and reestablish respect for our laws by holding violators accountable, including human traffickers, employers who hire illegal aliens, and alien gang members who terrorize communities throughout the country. According to Sensenbrenner, he said that in a statement. Among the other provisions, the bill makes mandatory an employment eligibility verification system currently voluntary by implementing a program confirming or denying the authenticity of Social Security numbers offered by new hires. According to the committee, the bill requires that all employers within 2 years will begin checking any new hires against this database and begin checking all hires within 6 years. Now, we're not going to give you a national ID card. Well, it's not going to be called necessarily a national ID card because that's going to smack the face of too many Americans that remember when this was a republic. God bless you. That'll do it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.